Hey gang, welcome to another exciting and important episode of National Bugle Radio on the Republic Broadcasting Network, RBN, republicbroadcasting.org. It's where you come for a lot of important information that might get lost, that you might not get otherwise. So go to republicbroadcasting.org, click on the donate button, and find a way to donate. And then go to nationalbugle.com. The co-certified app is very important. Actually, I think they did a deep dive into the co-certified app on Fast the Nation on TRS. So there you go. At least not into the co-certified app, to the kosher question. So you want to know about that. At any rate, this is Monday. Monday is the day that we say ni hao to Kato. Kato, ni hao.
Ni hao. Ni hao. 吃饭了吗?
啊,我吃饭了。吃饭了呢,挺好。 Okay. Anyway, so here we are, and there's so much stuff going on in the world. And the past week, I've been focused, number one, on what's going on in Melbourne, Australia. Because, I mean, things are just going on. That's big. Of course, number two, I've been focused on our own southern border with this invasion of Haitians. So everything is completely destabilized, but what tends to happen when everything is destabilized and everybody's looking the wrong way is that's often when wars break out. And so what have I been missing with regards to China? I sent you an article that we'll talk about later about China. What's going on there? What's going on between the Biden administration, China, and the rest of the world?
Well, global homo American imperialist Joe Biden is once again threatening China with war. This is no surprise, but nonetheless, as a Chinese person, I'm very furious, infuriated about this, how the sheer arrogance of the American empire, they think that their global homo universal values can be applied everywhere, and any nation that doesn't go along with it needs to have war declared on them, like China. And that's exactly what global homo Joe Biden is all about. I've said it from the very, very beginning, even during the Democratic primaries, that Joe Biden, if he wins, will by far be the most anti-China president of all time, by far the most anti-China president of all time. And I was right. Joe Biden has done more against China in not even the first year of his first term than Trump has in all his 4 years. And hell, I'll even say this, that Joe Biden makes Donald Trump look like a CCP spy, just how anti-China Joe Biden is. And that's what's really infuriating, is that you have all these brain-dead normie cons, these conservatives, going around saying that, oh yeah, he's Joe Biden, he's controlled by the Chinese. I mean, it doesn't get any stupider than this. Because
yeah,
anything that... These conservatives, here's their problem. Because they've already had that narrative in their mind that, oh, yeah, Joe Biden's controlled by the Chinese. Of course, this was whole part of the plan. Was to control the opposition in the way that you get one side that's actively aggressive toward, an entity, a nation. And then you get the other side saying that the establishment is not aggressive enough. They're not doing enough. And hell, they're even controlled by them. You effectively created a recipe for war, and that's exactly what's happened. And I'll say this too. I mean, we talk about controlled opposition a lot. With George Orwell's 1984 talks about controlled opposition with Emmanuel Goldstein opposing the Big Brother regime, but it's really controlled by Big Brother. Well, here's the thing: these conservatives, they're not even controlled opposition. They're part of the establishment. Mm. I mean, you have the liberal left establishment, and then you have the conservatives who, they don't even attempt to put up any real opposition. At least Goldstein's movement in 1984 put up some real opposition to Big Brother. There was at least some semblance of opposition. Here, there's no opposition. It's just, yeah, we need to go to war because, obviously I don't think the conservatives deep down, I don't think it's that they want to go to war with China because they want to impose, they want to allow white homosexual males to have access to Chinese children and Negroes to have access to Chinese women. I don't think that's the reason why the conservatives want to go into China. It's, you know, obviously it's more economical, it's more of a rivalry thing. But nonetheless, though, that is the agenda, because it's the liberal left establishment that controls, that is what the global homo American empire is.
So, you know, what we've got going on right now in Western countries is absolutely an existential threat. It's an existential threat to the, you know, the societies, the state, the societies that we founded. It's also, an existential threat to our genomes, our very genomes. So you've got the COVID tyranny. And, you know, Australia is only a few months ahead of us. Everything that's been going on in Australia that we look at and say, oh, that's horrible, what's going on in Australia with lockdowns or masks. And then we get it here. We've been getting the same stuff, only maybe a few months delayed. And, you know, if you look, if to the extent you can see what's going on in Australia, and there's massive censorship going on in the social media and by government and by, you know, legacy electronic and print media, but it's still getting out. It's just hard to find. And you've just got the cops attacking people for what? Attacking people for wanting to breathe, for wanting to walk. People are supposed to stay within 5 kilometers of their house or they'll be beaten by the police. And if you are caught planning a demonstration, an actual peaceful demonstration against this, you'll be arrested and beaten by the police. And then you look at what's going on our southern border, which is with the massive people pouring in, complete open borders. And then, you know, the conservatives you're talking about, you know, they're against Joe Biden. They're blaming Joe Biden for not bringing in enough hundreds of thousands of Afghan translators or allies or whatever. And so they're completely useless. And of course, none of this is coming from China. We know where it's coming from. It's coming from our Jewish dominated elite, and it has been for years and years. And you know, the complaints you hear about China, there's two types. One is misdirecting blame for what's going on. So you know, you had the Mike Lindell type, who is probably well-meaning, but you know, he is a crackhead, and or a former crackhead, and yeah, I don't think he's really necessarily all that smart. And so blaming China for the fake election, which clearly it wasn't. And he's never been, he and Sidney Powell and them, they've never been able to offer any kind of proof. They haven't produced, the source codes for these algorithms. They haven't produced any kind of trail for their claims. And meanwhile, there's massive evidence that the election was cheated, A, through changing election laws. We know that. I mean, that's completely undeniable. They unconstitutionally changed the election laws. And then B, by having blacks in these major cities in the swing states intimidate white poll workers and especially white canvas workers, you know, where they're actually adding together all the numbers and shut down the counting in the middle of the night and bring in more ballots. We've got all the evidence there. So we know how it happened. And yet there's this hostility to China. So that's one source. But then the other thing, the other hostility towards China is like these some fairy tales like organ harvesting or whatever, which if it happened, two things. A, I've never seen any real evidence, just like Falun Gong kind of hysteria that it's happened. But even if they were doing some organ harvesting, we're not the world's police, and we've done a lot worse things than that. So there's that. But the other thing that I just wanted to get at is, and this goes with for the Taliban and for everybody else, our establishment is trying to hold them to this globo homo moral code that you know that promotes feminism and homosexuality and trannyism and all of this other stuff. And not only do they attack, say, China or the Taliban or Syria or Russia with it, they attack us with it. They attack our own history.
So our own history, from even 10 years ago, is attacked because it wasn't gay enough. So there is that. So that's my rant. I'll kick it back over to you,
Kato. Yeah, and the reason why I'm so angry about this, so incensed about this, is because basically what the Jewish establishment is doing to white people, what they're doing to white Europeans, they seek to do to China. They seek to do to the Chinese people. The way that they're destroying white people with all of this homosexuality and black male and white female, degeneracy. The way they're doing that, they want to take what they're doing to white people and do that to China. That's exactly why this has gotten me so angry. I'm basing it off of this. I'm basing it off of, you know, what I've seen and looking at the geopolitical situation, but it's also this. There's the Stormer article where Andrew Anglin, and by the way, Andrew Anglin, he's got some really good articles on China. His China articles, I would say, are the top notch. Where he comes it out perfectly, and he lays it out exactly what's going on. If you want to get into that, we can. There's three articles, basically. The first one is the Bidens give UN speech vow destruction of China. And I'll read it down here. What I said earlier about the white homosexual males, attacking Chinese children and black males attacking Chinese women. Well, it was based off of, he sums it up perfectly in this first article where he says, if Joe Biden said in his UN speech, it's time to give the international homosexual community direct access to young, slant-eyed Chinese boys, then it's time to give African men access to, Chinese women. I would share the honesty. And that's what he says. And that's exactly what the American Empire is all about. And then in the second article, where he says,
because that's how you dilute and ultimately permanently alter and destroy the genome.
Exactly. That's exactly what it is. And then over here in the second article, which is the long one, he says, so are we doing this war with China or what? And yeah, basically talking about the same thing. It's he says, do you have to go to war with China because the United States has decided they want to force them to do gay anal and trannies? And it's just, he sums it up perfectly clear. I'm really impressed with his articles, how he just says exactly what it is, because this is what a lot of people are thinking when they think of the American Empire, when they think of, the United States, global homo imperialism. And basically, yeah, because wherever the American Empire goes, this is exactly what they bring with them. Not to mention, too, a lot of the local women, stealing a lot of the local women, the American soldiers, taking the local women. And then down here, and then also here, he says in this third article where he talks about America gives Canada permission to release kidnapped Chinese tech executive. This is, Meng Wanzhou, who was the chief financial officer at Huawei, who was kidnapped by the American government in Canada because of, they say, well, it was because of certain fraud, but no, it was political reasons. It was the United States ordered the Canadian authorities to snatch her, basically, and they just released her. But basically, the main point in this article is,
and isn't she the daughter of the Huawei founder?
Possibly. I think maybe. I'm not sure about that, but okay. Nonetheless, though, she was just released and basically given a hero's welcome back in China. I mean, the Chinese were thrilled and, all teary-eyed patriotic, and that was good. But basically, in this article, he says Europe believes in hardcore anal rim jobs, child trannies, and women getting gangbanged by blacks, but they don't have the same desire to force it on the world that the U.S. has. So that was in this article that Andrew Anglin had.
Yeah, and it's the rhetoric is a little bit hyperbolic, but it does have a basis. It does have a basis. It's kind of extreme and hyperbolic rhetoric, but it has a basis. It's based in something, There's more to what's going on with the hostility to China than simply like you know, gay stuff. But it, but that's, there is this hostility. A big part of it is, I mean, a big part of the Jewish elite's agenda against whites has been to destroy the ability of whites to identify as a group and be a group that could pose a challenge to Jewish hegemony. And the whites as a group are, you know, it's not exactly game over for whites, but I mean, we are so far back on our heels. And it's not just that we're being defeated, but that the power resources, the intellectual, the monetary, all the resources that European civilization has built up over the centuries, so much of it is now being usurped, and so not being destroyed, but being usurped by Jews, who are then going to be able to use that against Eastern civilization.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and any civilization, any high civilization that they deem a threat to them, they're going to use, and they're using it through the United States of America. The American Empire is the biggest vehicle of world Jewry. You know, people might say to me, they say, "Oh, well, why you hate America? Why are you always talking about America? It's the Jews. Talk more about the Jews. Say Jews." I'm like, "Yes, it's the Jews. Yes, but what is their main vehicle? Which entity is their main vehicle for world power? Is it Israel? No. Is it the United Nations? Of course not. It's the United States of America. It's the American Empire. That's their main vehicle, and it's the United States of America that is the greatest threat to world peace, and also the greatest threat to all nations, all peoples, all races of the world, including white people, including East Asians and, you know, Middle Easterners and so forth. It's the United States of America that's the biggest threat. And all I can say is, as soon as the American Empire, it's going to fall. We know we can already see it's falling. But here's the thing. Will it take the whole world down with it when it falls?
Mm-hmm. It could.
Yeah. And, you know, in the next segment, I have a video. I have a CGTN interview video where there's a professor who goes into that.
So, okay. So it goes into that. And so there are the complaints you hear from the American media, from the American establishment against China. I mean, they hacked our election. That's kind of like fringe Q-tard stuff. But from more of the mainstream, you hear the Uyghur stuff, okay? And a lot of stories about the Uyghurs, which, A, even if they were all true, it's still not our business, honestly. We can't. We've been trying to be the world's policemen, and what has it gotten us? It's turned us into the most corrupt, decrepit country ever. Yeah, I mean, so even if it were all true, I'm pretty confident that most of what they say is very distorted. They talk about Hong Kong. They talk about these islands in the South China Sea or the East China Sea. But we can get into that. We're up at the break. Let's come back and look at this recording that you're talking about. Hey gang, Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and the new app, Koshertified, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the Kosher-tified app can make a huge difference for your future.
Extendivite has proven time and again it really works. Here's a testimonial from Amazon.com. I am only 40, but I have put my body through hell working in manufacturing for 20 years. I recently started to notice a buzzing feeling along with a stuttering sensation with my heart. I had a full cardio stress done, which I passed. I decided to try Extendivite after getting the jingle stuck in my head. Halfway through the bottle, I really did notice a difference. After getting home from work, I would just sit in a chair for a few hours feeling like crap, and this stuff reduced that feeling along with heart discomfort to almost nothing. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
We are back, and you've got a clip from a Professor Peter Kuznick. Is that his name? And do you know what institution he's at?
Yes, I think he's a professor of nuclear studies at Columbia University.
Nuclear? Okay, so he's a physicist.
I don't know if he's a physicist. Something to do with basically the politics of nuclear.
Oh, okay. Yeah. All right. But Columbia, that's a big deal. All right, so you have a clip from him, or do you need to...
Yes. Yeah, so this is on CGTN, China Global Television, where he's talking about, this is a show called The Point with Liu Xin, and he's basically talking about what drives the U.S. to wage wars.
Okay.
That's the segment, so here we go.
Welcome back. September 21st marks International Day of Peace. It's a good time to remember the Second World War. After it ended in 1945 with about 75 million deaths, people expected peace and stability, finally. Instead, we have seen more wars as the United States seeks to impose its own political model and deals on others. Is protecting freedom and democracy the real reason, or are there darker motives? Did the lessons learned in Japan, Vietnam, Iraq, and recently in Afghanistan leave no impact at all? In an exclusive interview, eminent American historian, author, and documentary maker Peter Kuznick spoke to my colleague Liu Xin about what makes America wage war at the drop of a hat.
Professor Kuznick, welcome to The Point.
Glad to be with you.
Now, on September the 15th, the US, UK, and Australia announced their trilateral military pact called our course, which will start with providing Australia with nuclear power submarines. The pact has been condemned by many countries, including France, who feels it has been stabbed in the back. China, of course, it's very much targeting China and the neighbor regional countries such as Malaysia, Indonesia, and of course, further apart, DPRK and Iran for you know, concerns about proliferation. Why do you think AUKUS was launched? Now, when the US didn't share technology with any other country except the UK in 1958 in terms of nuclear sensitive technology?
The Biden administration's focus has been solely on China. From the beginning, Biden has said that he's going to restore America's alliances against China. And this is an very important symbolic and actually concrete step in that direction. You mentioned Afghanistan. Even the withdrawal from Afghanistan was posed in terms of being able to put those resources in the competition with China. So Biden's framework in that regard is very similar to Trump's. Trump saw China as the main threat to the United States and developed a very hostile relationship with China. Biden is doubling down on that. This agreement with Australia and the UK is an important step in that direction because it's an escalation.
What do you think of the potential impact of such a military pact? Is it going to be a tool for peace, as it claims?
No, it's not going to be a tool for peace. What it is a heightening of military tensions in the region. And it makes no sense on the surface. The claim is that Australia wants to, so it can secure the trade lanes in the region. But who is Australia's main trading partner? It's China. So why do they need these nuclear-powered submarines in order to secure the trade lanes with their main trading partner? It makes no sense, but it's what it really is intended, even though they don't say it openly, is part of this growing attempt to isolate China, to build up these forces around China of this kind of alliance. But by undermining the relation with some of the European nations, as Biden has done, Europeans don't want to get drawn into this kind of new Cold War either. And so China's growing economic power gives it a great advantage in dealing with all of these countries. And I just wish that my friends in China were a little bit less less assertive and a little more flexible, and it would be in China's own interest and would undermine this U.S. attempt to create this polarized world, which I think is very, very dangerous.
All right, so that's the first segment of the video. You want to comment anything?
Australia in maybe 20 years ago, maybe a little more, maybe a little less, made what seemed to be a very conscious decision to link itself economically to China. And China had a growing industrial base and they needed raw materials. And Australia has, the Australian economy has been these primary, you know, it's been primary products. It's been mining. I mean, mining is huge in Australia. They mine coal, but they mine uranium. They mine all sorts of things. And then other agricultural products. And they made this effort. And I know, like, just like in investment circles, if you wanted to invest in China and there wasn't anything to invest in with China, you invested in Australia as a proxy for China. At any rate, we're up on the break. We'll get into this more in a
bit.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Standing 6'4", weighing in 245 pounds of crime-fighting, political science-analyzing brawn,
Ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Patrick Slattery.
So, Mike, get off this anti-cicada agenda.
I'm a born-again traditional Christian, and my favorite possessions are right here on my nightstand. That would be the King James Bible and my .357 revolver.
I'd rather be ruled by Chinamen than Jews.
Cool it with the anti-Semitic remarks, right?
Just because you steal an election and terminate the Republic doesn't mean you terminate the people in the Republic, because we're still here.
I'm not taking the vaccine. Fuck you, Bill Gates.
There was a way forward still on January 6th. What needed to be done is to object to every single state.
The COVID-19 virus was the setup. The vaccine could very well be the bioweapon.
The Patrick and Jeremy Show, Tuesday at 9 Central and Wednesday at 1 Central.
Hey, gang. Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and a new app, Koshertify, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the Koshertified app can make a huge difference for your future.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Okay, we are back, and we are ready to hear more of that interview with Peter Kuznick.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So this is the more important part of the interview, in my opinion. So everyone, listen carefully.
What has driven President Biden to change course on the nuclear strategy or policy?
Biden's policy, his foreign policy, has been very baffling to a lot of people. He pledged to break with Trump's policies across the board. In fact, Biden has been doubling down on most of Trump's policies, legitimizing them in the same way that Obama legitimized many of George W. Bush's policies. Biden is legitimizing many of Donald Trump's reckless policies. And why is he doing this? He's obsessed with China. But you look at the people he brought in there, his foreign policy advisors, whether it's Blinken or Sullivan or Victoria Nuland. These are hardline old Cold Warriors, and they were initially involved in the confrontational policies toward Russia, but they also were all part of the pivot to China, pivot to Asia. So in November 2011, when Hillary Clinton writes her article in Foreign Policy magazine, titled America's Pacific Century, mm-hmm. these were people were, now Nuland was more involved in Ukraine, of course, but the others were very much involved in this kind of policy shift. So in some sense, they're It's not surprising, but I think it's very, very dangerous.
Now, you just now talk about this idea to keep the America front and central in the world in the new century. Actually, you were talking about this in the past. You said, you know, this kind of one terror was hatched by a group of people who instigated the project for the new American century. But as we know, Asia has been rising very, very fast and steadily, and there's talk of an Asian century, and that talk seems to be picking up momentum as well. So what happens when these two kinds of talk clash, or when the people who have been advocating an American century in the 21st century find that their wish is probably not coinciding with the reality on the ground?
The Americans have had this vision of unilateralism or unipolarity or hegemony and domination for quite some time. And with the collapse of the Soviet Union in the early 1990s, that became a reality in their minds. And so they started to talk about Charles Krauthammer, the neoconservative strategist, who said in 1990 that the United States is now the world's unipolar power. So this is a unipolar moment. By 2002, after the invasion of Afghanistan, he'd increased it. He said, this is not the unipolar moment, it's the unipolar era. And the United States is going to dominate not 30 or 40 years like he had predicted, but indefinitely into the future. Then the United States gets bogged down in Iraq, gets bogged down in Afghanistan, later in Libya and Syria, and this whole vision seems to collapse. But the United States has got to learn how to live in a multipolar world. And the thing that we've never seen before, we've seen empires collapse. We've seen empires rise and fall. We've never seen an empire fall that has the military capability to end all life on the planet, to bring the rest of the planet down with it. And that's, to me, the terrifying prospect. How desperate are these people to cling to power, to try to assert their domination, to try to combat China, not only economically, there can be a healthy competition economically, and the competition should be what former Vice President Henry Wallace said it should be between the United States and the Soviet Union, a competition to see who can better serve the needs of humanity. That competition I would like to see.
So, yeah, basically he nailed it right there.
He nailed, and he's raising the prospect of an American version of the Samson option in effect. I mean, the Samson option where Israel, if it feels it's going to be regime changed, right? If it's no longer going to be able to maintain its Jewish state, that it would lash out in all directions and take down European capitals with it. The United States, and this has always been a threat with World War III. It's been a threat throughout the nuclear age that a nuclear exchange would end the war, would end the world, and civilization as we know it. The only critique you could have of what this Peter Kuznick is saying is, well, actually we were there before with the Soviet Union and the United States, but here, United States does have the power to, with its 10,000 plus warheads, to destroy civilization.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah. Basically, what damage that Israel does regionally, the American Empire does to the whole world. Does global?
Yeah, it would for the whole world.
Yeah, that's why the United States is the number one threat to all peoples and nations, not Israel. Israel's a regional threat to, the Palestinians, the Middle Easterners, and Europeans, Europeans, yes, but it's not a global threat like the United States is. And that's why when, some of these Middle Eastern leaders call Israel little Satan and the American Empire the great Satan, they're right in the sense of, little and great meaning size and how much damage they can do globally. So, and I also want to say this, too, about nuclear capabilities. There's only been one entity in the entire world. I'm not going to call it a nation, because the U.S. is not a nation, it's an empire. But there's only one entity in the entire world that has ever used nukes. Well, they weren't nukes at the time, but they were the precursor to nukes. And that's the United States of America. The United States remains, to this day, the only entity that has ever used nukes.
Well, they're nuclear weapons. Plutonium bomb. There was a plutonium bomb and a uranium bomb, and it's the same fission technology. that most of those 10,000 warheads are based on. I mean, you have, I guess there's some hydrogen bombs as well. Hydrogen bombs were developed and they were tested. I don't know if any of the arsenal involves hydrogen fusion bombs, but I think that, but yeah.
Right. It's all that same technological family.
Yeah.
And that's the thing, too. The United States is the only power, the only entity in the world that has ever used nukes. The Soviets have never used them on anyone. No one else has ever used them on anyone except the United States. And I want to say this, too, that in the 1950s and 60s, you had many right-wing, right-wing figures in the United States. You know, good people, men like, on the fringes, like George Lincoln Rockwell, and men like, more establishment types like the great Senator Joseph McCarthy, who were very concerned about the Soviets, the Jewish Rosenbergs selling the nuclear technology from the United States to the Soviet Union. And that was indeed a concern, and they did, they meant very well to talk about that. But there was one thing that both of these men forgot, which is that they did not focus, on within. They did not focus on Washington, D.C., on the federal government, on, within the United States. That if the United States, it's the United States having them, is what makes it so dangerous. Because all these other countries, I'm not saying that obviously it was bad that the Jewish Rosenbergs betrayed the U.S. and sold the Soviets the secrets, but the United States having them was of a bigger concern that many of these men, these good men, they overlooked.
Well, okay, for the most part, everything this Peter, what was his name? Krasnick?
Peter Kuznick.
Kuznick. I mean, for the most part, I think he was spot on. I want to clarify, I don't think Trump was particularly anti-China until the last year of his administration. The first 3 years, he, Trump always uses kind of, bellicose rhetoric. It's his style, which isn't a good style. But he would say things like, "Well, China, they've been raping us. They've been raping us, taking our jobs." But then the next line would be, "But you can't blame them. You can't blame them because our negotiators gave away the store, and how can you blame them?" So, and then he would talk about Xi Jinping as his friend. He'd say it's his friend, but we are going to redo these trade agreements. We're going to completely redo the trade agreements, and so. I mean, the rhetoric could be bellicose, but when you actually got down to the substance, away from the form and down to the substance, it did not involve military threats, and it was simply renegotiate trade deals, which was perfectly a legitimate thing to do. In the last year, because of the Corona hoax, he started getting more and also because of the pressure from people like Tucker Carlson or Josh Hawley or these other China hawks, he started going off on this anti-China business, which was unfortunate because it's that last year during an election campaign that most people are paying attention, and so then the MAGA people got all anti-China, and that was very unfortunate.
And it wasn't even so much him; it was that fat slob Mike Pompeo that was the real maker. It was his fault that caused Trump to become so anti-China. Because, Trump just wanted normal relations and fair relations with China. But that fat slob, Mike Pompeo, came in, that slug, came in and just derailed everything. By the way, Mike Pompeo, very supportive of the current Secretary of State, the Jewish Antony Blinken.
Yeah. So... okay, then the question I have is, now what you played for us, that was an American professor, but it was a Chinese TV show.
Yes.
And so can you tell us what are the public perceptions or maybe the elite perceptions of what's of the United States? To what extent is there alarm? What are people saying in the government or in the media about the United States?
Well, their main focus right now is, of course, American imperialist aggression. The U.S. Empire declaring all these wars and destabilizing whole nations. That's really their main focus. Now, what I played was CGTN, which is it's China Global Television. It's meant for English-speaking audiences. Of course, they have their local CCTV. There's many CCTVs, which is intended more for Chinese audiences. I'm more focused on the CGTN, the China Global, because that's what concerns us here in the U.S. Essentially, the main themes are, American war aggression. That's what they mostly talk about. And then they also talk about other countries, like they report a lot on Afghanistan, too, talking about how, how much better it is right now that the Americans are gone, and how the there was this one. They actually interviewed the mayor of Kabul in Afghanistan, and basically he said that he would give out his cell phone number to all the residents of Kabul. If they ever needed anything, that they would just call him. And I mean, that's really good. You don't see even small town mayors do that here. That's mostly what their themes are, is, how nations, can develop and do well on their own without the United States, without the U.S. aggression, without the U.S. presence, and how other nations can do well and develop, especially when they get along with this this One Belt, One Road policy, the China Belt and Road Initiative. So that's really their main focus, is number one is countering the U.S. propaganda and the U.S. aggression. And number two, it's promoting the economic development of other countries along with China's.
Mm-hmm. So I mentioned the rap that China gets over Xinjiang, the Uyghurs in Xinjiang. It used to get a lot of rap from Hollywood over Tibet. And you've got the Hong Kong stuff. We've talked a lot about Taiwan. One other thing, and this complicates China's relations with its neighbors. And of course, these neighbors are being enlisted by the United States in an anti-China coalition, are these little islets in the South China Sea and the East China Sea. I'm not sure about the Yellow Sea, if there's anything there, but the thing is, these seas that China doesn't directly have a Pacific coast, unless you want to count, the western or the eastern shore of Taiwan, but it's not controlled by Beijing right now. Anyway, so all of China's seaboard are these seas that on the other side of the sea, you've got Korea, you've got Japan, you've got Philippines, Malaysia, and to get to the open sea, you've got to go through straits. And that's an issue. And it's the type of thing that the United States has never had to deal with, because the United States has this Atlantic coast and this Pacific coast, and it's got direct access to the two largest oceans. The Soviet Union, even like if they had direct access to the Arctic Sea, over the Arctic Ocean, for what it was worth, but getting into the open sea and ice-free open sea was always an issue. And for China, if they're going into the Pacific, what are they going to go through? They've got to go through the Japanese Ryukyu Islands, or they've got to go, between Taiwan and the Philippines, or they've got to go through these narrow straits that can get choked off. They can get choked off. But the other thing is, there are these little islets. You got the Spratly Islands, the Paracel Islands in the South China Sea, and then you've got the Japanese call them the Senkaku Islands in the East China Sea. And because of the way the Law of the Sea Treaty was written up, the Law of the Sea makes the even uninhabited islands, and these three groups I mentioned, these island groups are uninhabited, it makes uninhabited islands super valuable. And these seas, like I said, these seas are very shallow. And so the... if you can claim the an island as a sovereign territory, then you get these sovereign mining rights and sovereign navigation rights over an enormous patch of the sea, and it makes them extremely valuable and worth fighting over. If you didn't have the law of the sea, they wouldn't be worth fighting over. Mm-hmm. And this is a major problem, and really the whole law of the sea needs to be revisited. But especially it's enormous for China because of the geography, and so it it creates, so you've got these territorial disputes with Japan, which otherwise, I mean, Japan is hundreds of miles away, or the Philippines, now they've got territorial disputes with the Philippines, with Malaysia, with Vietnam, with, for the most part, countries that are hundreds of miles away, if not a thousand or more. And so that's a big problem. But we're at the break. We'll be right back.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. Well, we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country. Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store, or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now, but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
We are back. I was just discussing the Law of the Sea Treaty. Do you have any thoughts on that before we move on?
Well, yeah, it's clearly it's the United States that's behind all this, all these tiny little countries, you know, trying to stand up to China and trying to nitpick with China. It's the United States that's behind this. You know, Law of the Sea Treaty is one thing, but if the American presence weren't there, then China wouldn't be having all these problems with all these other countries, and you know, Asians would wouldn't be having all this dispute. It's because of the American Empire. It all goes back to the United States. The United States is behind everything. All the evil that's going on in this world right now is the United States is behind. I mean, even you look at in Australia, these lockdowns in Australia. It's the United States that's behind it, because if it weren't for the American media and the American federal government the empire, you know, constantly promoting this COVID narrative. Australians, their government still sucks no matter what, but they wouldn't be going, you know, hardcore lockdown. The United States, the only reason why it hasn't happened here yet is because, fortunately, the states are decentralized enough to where it's, you know, a little bit harder to do that, even though, don't get me wrong, they want to do it over here, but they can't, because a lot of the states, you know, like Florida and Texas, don't go along with it all the way, don't go along with it most of the way. So, yeah, the United States is behind the tyranny, the totalitarianism and police brutality in Australia, and they're behind this border crisis down in the Rio Grande. Yeah, it's the United States that's the root of all the evil.
Okay, so we have just a couple more minutes. Was there any other points you needed to make?
Yeah, I'm going to end with this. I'm going to end with this this quote. Now, this I'm going to quote from this this really great leader in the 1930s, Adolf Hitler, and he said a quote talking about the struggle between world Jewry and Europe and civilization and the world. I'm going to take that quote and I'm going to spin it a little bit, and I'm going to say something too. So basically, here's the original quote. This is what Hitler said originally. He said, quote, "If international financial Jewry within and outside Europe should succeed in plunging the nations once again into a world war, then the result will not be the Bolshevization of Earth and thereby the victory of Jewry, but the destruction of Jewry in Europe." That was the original quote. So here's what I say. I say, if the global homo American empire throughout the whole world should succeed in plunging the nations once again into a world war, then the result will not be the homo Americanization of the earth and thereby the victory of the American empire, but the destruction of the American empire itself, and finally the liberation of the world.
If the world could survive.
Yeah, that's the thing, if the world could survive, and hopefully it does. By God, it will. That's all I can say. Because even though I don't think the United States is, at least in a military conflict, going to win against China, especially with China and Russia and all the other countries allied with them, but nonetheless, the American empire is falling. It's collapsing. We know its days are numbered, and that's why it's so dangerous, because it wants to hold on to that. And it has to drag the entire world down, just like Israel with their regional Samson option. America's empire is global. It's a global Samson option where they will destroy the entire world with it.
Yeah, and you know, regarding China and its sea lanes, Japan, Taiwan, Philippines, and Malaysia can deprive China of access to the open sea. And, you know, these are all countries, not quite as much Malaysia, but these are all countries that are pretty geopolitically aligned with the United States. And, you know, the United States, it has used nuclear in the past, and it's for decades had this doctrine of you know, using nuclear weapons and maintaining nuclear weapons, and you know, it's a really, really precarious situation. We're not going to solve all of this today, but we'll be talking about it again. But thank you so much for joining me today,
Peter. Yes, thank you, Dr. Schlattery.
And I'll be back again tomorrow with another exciting episode of National Legal Radio.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we, the people, are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.